and you were visiting this planet for the first time and you heard about America, the first thing you would probably realize or hear about is our affection for guns. And the second thing you hear about is mass shooting and mass killing. So we've got to stop these mass shootings in public places. And that's just where we are today. We've got to stop mass shooting in public places. We have got to stop this. It's unbelievable, the kind of stuff that is going on. If you were just visiting this planet for the first time, you would realize that this is the one thing that this country does very much of. And that is, and just think about it, yesterday it was so halcyonic. It was football Sunday, and every guy in America was just sitting back on his couch enjoying a game of football. Everybody was just relaxed, and this is America, and we're just, Saturday was college game day. I mean, I had such a good weekend. I was in two college towns on the weekend. I went to East Lansing, where my daughter is at college at Michigan State, and on Sunday, I went to Ann Arbor, where the University of Michigan's campus is. And so I was like, wait a minute, I'm in two college towns on the same day. I live in Michigan, and we're near college towns. There are colleges everywhere, okay? And I was just, you know, each time I go to the campus of Michigan State, I am always so in awe of the efforts they take to keep students safe. And I'm always so in awe of the abandon with which young people walk around. You know, so they're there to learn. They're taking care of, you know, planning their lives out, planning their future. It's not unusual to see couples walking down the street holding hands and groups of students as they're either hurrying to class or they're hurrying somewhere else. And like Saturday after the game was over, everybody was just kind of like, okay. So I said, what happened? Did they lose or something? No, they didn't lose. It was just a fairly easy game for them. And there was nothing celebratory about it. I'm like, go figure. Everyone was coming out of the game in that uniform green that is only Spartan green. And, you know, I was just so thankful. I remember sitting in my car watching everybody as I drove through Grand River on my way to my daughter's home, just being very thankful that there's no shooting, there's no violence, people are just going about their business, enjoying the day. And I actually was looking forward to spending time with my daughter, my youngest daughter, and my mother, who happens to be in the car with us. So that was just an added bonus. Matter of fact, when this broadcast is over, I'm going to call Mom. This is always what I do with this. I always keep in touch with family. But I was just so awed by that. And I remember just saying, Mom, just such a blessing to see all these young people just walking around, and the only thing they have to worry about today is to worry about learning and having fun. And my daughter was like, you have no idea the kind of parties they're going to have. and so this is Monday. And Monday morning, here we are, mass shooting, and it's not 11 o'clock. You see where I'm coming from? This began at about 9 o'clock. It began getting reported at 9 o'clock. So it must have begun at least an hour or two earlier before it was finally released to the media. And here we are, you know, just here we are. I woke up this morning, and guys, I'm telling you the truth, there was such a pall in the atmosphere, this deep, dark fall, and I was just like, this is still not a good sign. And the first thought when I woke up this morning was shooting. So that was the first thought that crossed my mind. And so when I got up, I prayed over my children. I prayed for their safety. I prayed for the safety of all students on their way to school and students on buses and the people who are trying to get on school buses and so on. Because let's face it, life is hard for a number of people right now. And because life is hard, people don't know how to turn in and how to be what they want to be. People don't know what they're doing. People are not sure. And so we don't know how it is going to pan out. We don't know how it is all going to be. And I am just saying that it's time to stop the violence. We have got to find a way to stop it. We have created a culture in which we are alienating too many people. Too many people our feeling is this, they don't have access to common services. It's what I refer to as common ground. People are losing their commonality, their common ground, the things that melt the nation, the things that we enjoy about being American and the things that we enjoy about living in America are dissipating. And because it's dissipating, and more than disappearing, actually, it's almost as if it's dissolving, as if it had never been there and it will never come back. Many people are losing their attachment to common ground. And because they're losing their attachment to common ground, then people begin to think that they have lost everything. Well, how could they not? When someone had a job and they had a house and they had, it legitimized people. It empowered people. It made them feel as if they were human. And so they had a house, they had a car, they had a life. They had a family who lived in that house with them. They could go to a ball game on Sunday. They could have their friends over for beer and chips. They could go to the bar on a Friday night. They could go down to church on Sunday morning if they wanted to. On Saturday, they could stay home all day and watch college ball all day long. And if they felt like it, they could go to the game of the college whom they should support. When those things began to dissipate and disappear in America, we created a sense of loss of security. And people began to feel that the ceiling over their lives, over their heads, had been taken away. And because they began to feel like that, there was now what? No common ground. The ground on which they stood was no longer sturdy and firm. So people began to look around for things that made them feel better. And then eventually, in these cases, they lose their families because people start fighting with one another. So the last thing they want to lose is what? Their family. But that's the one thing they end up losing anyhow. When the family unit is broken, then people have lost their touch with reality. Because now it's the society that has made them this way. Do you see what I mean? And so we've got to begin to look at these mass shootings from a perspective of how, not only how do we avoid them, take the guns away, take away access to assault rifles and so on, yes. I agree with all of that. But we've got to start looking at it from a humanitarian point of view. We've got to begin looking at, well, you don't just fire people. Just like the Congress, just out in sequester while they're all attending cocktail parties in D.C., spilling wine and whiskey in their glasses and eating hors d'oeuvres off trays, passing by by waiters and servers who are earning minimum wage, while they live high, extremely high on the hill, high on the hog, high on the American taxpayer, high on the backs of people who have lost their jobs, high on the backs of people who were furloughed, high on the backs of people who lost countless hours at work and were unable to make their bills. High while they're living high, people are living low, 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 and people have determined that they've got to do something about it. Come on, come on. Shake it up. I'm going to pray for a shake-up to take place, that these people realize that these people whom you refer to are your people. They look just like you. They're blonde, they're dark-haired, they're blue-eyed, they're green-eyed, they're dark-skinned, they're light-skinned, they're white-skinned, they're yellow-skinned, they're red-skinned, they're brown-skinned. They're your people. They look just like you. They're human beings. If you were to get cut this morning and they were to get cut and you needed a blood transfusion and they have the same blood type, the same blood that works in your body works in their body. And so we've got to figure out how do we as a society help one another? We've got to go back to the stage where each man is my brother. Each woman is my sister. That's what we have got to go back to. We have got to go back to the days of common ground, where the ground that we walk on is common to all of us. We have got to go back to that. No, it's not about being Robin Hood. It's about common ground. It's about all of us being on common ground. That this is common ground, not because you own it or I own it, but because God owns it and He saves us here. And now we are here. We've got to fix this so that we can all live here. The majority of us can live here and live here in peace, security, and harmony. We can't continue shooting one another like this. It's not enough for us now to fear working in large buildings or in large places because there'll be a mass shooter. Now companies have to invest huge amounts of money in extra security and screening employees to make sure that people don't come in with issues. Because nowadays with Obamacare and so on, employers don't even want to hire people. They hire people for 3 months, and then after 3 months they kick them out for stupid reasons because they don't want to pay Obamacare. And after 90 days or for 120 days, people don't know what they're going to do because another job is not forthcoming. So then they don't know what they're going to do. Common ground, everybody. Can we say common ground? Common ground. We're talking about the Navy Yard shooting and its ramifications, why it happened, and what can we do? What can we do, America, to make sure? My God, another day, another week. Another day, another week. And here we go. Another mass shooting. This is the Harriet Cameron Show, everybody. I am as unbelievably as I can be. Unbelievable. Prayers to those who are affected in Washington. The Harriet Cameron Show, right there.
Had your coffee yet? Why not try Organo Gold? It's mixed with the ancient Chinese herb Ganoderma that allows you to heal your body while also enjoying your cup of John. Organo Gold even comes in different flavors like latte, mocha, chocolate, not to mention green tea. Go to our website at www.harrietkamak.organogold.com and place your order today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take it back a little bit. One, two, three, say. You might as well go on ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be a man. Can you say one more time? Be a man.
y'all need a little bit of that. I thought I would just take that into it for Monday morning. Time of sound a little bit. Things just got it off wrong this morning. But we're talking about the Davy Yard shooting that took place in Washington, D.C. this morning, early this morning. And as America continues to grow and expand, it seems that mass shootings have become a way of life. I think it's not only time out of the violence, but I believe that we all have a part to play in ensuring that we maintain what we have. We seem to be losing our grip on what is normal. It cannot be that we wake up to go to work and we are praying that, dear Lord, today is not the day there will be a mass shooting at my job. Let's try to stop the violence, shall we? Well, another of the stories that is making the rounds is the story of the young Indian American woman who won the Miss America pageant over the weekend. She's the first contestant of Indian descent to have won the Miss America pageant. She's Miss New York, and she was crowned Miss America on Saturday night, and apparently a lot of people are very I guess people don't know where India is because they say an Arab wind now. People were really, 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 really upset. So we really, I don't know where this is going, but it's not going anywhere. So we've got to, and then they show the picture of Miss Kansas, who wears her army thingies, her army fatigue. She loves hunting. She loves her tattoos. And they think she's the real Miss America. Okay. What do you all think about that? Okay. Hey, everybody. All right. Whoa. I don't know, people. We've got to be able to get it together. I don't know where our country is or where we have lost, but we certainly have. We certainly have, haven't we? I mean, I hadn't even seen the story because Saturday night I was nowhere near a TV. I was busy driving back from Michigan State at the time. And I was completely out of the loop. Nobody even told me about it. And so I was completely out of the loop. But gosh, we certainly have a lot of work here to do, wouldn't you think? We have a lot of work here to do. So everybody, we need to get down and figure out what we are doing and how we got to where we are and why we are here and what are we going to do with what we have here. We seem to be falling into pieces where it looks like there are going to be groups of people living in different pockets of the country, and New York and California are going to be the anchors for diversity and multiculturalism in D.C. and then the rest of the country is going to, you know, gravitate to a hodgepodge of whatever they believe in. So we've got to get it together. Well, anyway, we're talking about this next incident, this most recent incident of mass shooting that took place on a workplace campus. And what does it say about our culture of violence when there seems to be mass shootings in public space? It's not at a school, it's at a place of work. It's at a place where we go to do business. It's somewhere that is public outside of our home. And it's obvious that there is something very wrong. And I know that politicians and so on and everybody else is like, well, let's protect my territory first. And let's see what are the possibilities. that such a thing could happen? What is the likelihood that such a thing could happen on my campus or on where I am? And I think that's a conversation many CEOs have been dealing with for the last 5 years is, what are the possibilities that such a thing could happen? And every month it seems that the likelihood of such an event taking place on someone's workplace campus becomes even more real. There are security measures in certain places. If you've been out of your own to the world recently, you will begin to recognize how much the world has changed. For many of us, we become familiar with it, but, you know, it's like nothing else. Those racists know 10 victims instead of 7. At the Navy Yard shooting. The story keeps updating, by the way. And so for many of us, I don't want to say it's the norm, but certainly the culture now is that you can't sit back and think this kind of thing will never happen where you are. You have to think that this kind of thing will take place somewhere. And so I wanted to not just create awareness, but I think that we need to apply a different set of tools right now. I think that we need to first, I believe that fixing the economy is going to go a long way in making people feel a certain, feel more secure. And many of you can say it's relative, but I don't think so. I think if we were to fix the economy, people would feel better. And if they feel better, they would be more relaxed. And when I say feel better, the best way I can put that is to say they would be more optimistic about their own life circumstances and situation. Many of what you are seeing taking place or manifesting as a mass shooting, quite frankly, are people's insecurities about their future being played out. In other words, it's a silent cry that says, I will not make it tomorrow. There's no hope for me. My hope is gone. And this is the way that I think my story ends. And I think we need to pay attention to those signals, because when it happens more than once in different parts of the country, then you begin to realize that it's a mass sickness. It's like a massive depression that has taken place. So the Great Recession is still at work, but now we also have a depression that is mental, not just an economic depression that left a big hole in everybody's bank account and in everybody's life, but a mental depression. Now, many of us have different ways of coping. There are many people with different coping skills. Many people have different ways to cope with what happens to them. And people heal differently. I have learned firsthand that some of us, the strongest of us, do fall. Recently, my oldest daughter, Alexandra, who will be 21 in a couple of days, her father died, my ex-husband died a few months ago, back in February. It was during Alexandra's midterms of her sophomore year. I told her that when she writes her story, it will begin something like, it was during my sophomore year, one bleak, cold February day, something like that. And her world fell apart. Now, Alexandra is a heroine, no doubt about it. She's the heroine and the voice in my book, Through the Fire. And when she has always been a very optimistic young lady, always looking on the bright side of things, always choosing to see the best side of things, except when, you know, like everybody else, when things don't go her way. But she had an ability to pick herself up no matter what was going on, and things happen to all of us where you feel disappointed. And depending on how healthy you are mentally and emotionally determines the length of time that you'll recover. And when her dad died, she fell apart. She couldn't cope. She needed help to cope. You know, she needed therapy to recover, and she needed reassurances that I am here, I'm alive, and I'm not leaving either, and I'm not, you know, that this parent is not going to be. And, of course, she went through the usual phases of one parent is dead, the other one, something is going to happen to the other one. And so when I saw that, hit home for me, because I said, geez, this is real. This actually, people do experience hurt, what it looks like and feels like. when it's a member of your own family going through something that no matter what she wanted or could have done, her father was never going to come back. He was gone. And she said it best. She said, I have talked to friends who have lost their father and their parents, and I've held their hands and squeezed their hands and hugged them while they were hurting. And she said, I never knew what it felt like until now. Now I know what it feels like. So now that I'm intimate with that kind of grief firsthand, now I know how much it hurts other family members. Now, if Alexandra had not been able to recover and cope with it, it would have been quite something else, wouldn't you say? It would have been. And so I am very, very grateful that she was able to recover and so on. Oh boy. So now we know. So what I'm saying is, it would be very cool. It would be okay if all of us were to make sure that when these things do happen, that we make sure that our family members are safe. Now, I am not saying that I'm holding you accountable for what your family members do, by no stretch of the imagination. But what I am saying is that we need to take care of one another. And by that I mean we have to make sure that we take care of one another to the extent that we are watchful of our family members. We've got to help each other. But sometimes the family's resources are dried up. Many of these mass shootings that you see are taking place with people who have exhausted resources that their family can provide. And for many people, guess what? They don't reach out for help because they were raised with the idea that taking help from the government was a handout. So thank you, Mr. Politician Guy, for creating that mindset in people's minds that when they have come to the end of their rope and they ask for help, that it's a handout, and making people feel so alienated they're too ashamed to go and ask for help that would alleviate their circumstances, so they sit there and wallow in despair and then pick up a gun to shoot others and end their lives. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, don't you feel better? You should. You really should. And so what you find happening is that many of these folks now believe that the only way that they can move forward is to end their lives, but then that's an exit. That's their exit. So they're going to hurt others, especially the people who caused this to happen, inflicting mass damage, which would gain attention, so people would go read about their story because they think that when they die, they're going to a place where they can observe all of this and they would retreat from prosecution. So they can't prosecute me here, but I'll be somewhere else watching this whole drama played out. I know, right? We need to do something about that. So what I'm saying is there are resources available. There are resources to help people, but how do you get help to someone who is reluctant to even internalize their own issues and is reluctant to admit that they themselves need help? How do you do that? How do you say to someone else that, you know something, you need help? How do family members do that? Because oftentimes the family is the primary source of intervention. The family is the first source of intervention. However, many people do not have the family. Many people do not access help. Because, again, the idea created within their minds is that asking for help is a handout. And we've got to stop this displacement. And boy, do we package things nicely. Do we ever? We are masters at this. We are masters at creating these efficacies in people's minds and these systems of mandatory mass marketing and these systems of impressing upon people how others should live until you find yourself in the seat of it. Who needs help? Who accepts more help from the government and politicians. Everything they do is subsidized. The taxpayer pays for it. They don't pay for anything out of pocket. So how is it not a handout when they're doing it? How is it not a handout when you give large corporations millions of dollars in tax write-offs, and many of them take advantage of tax loopholes to avoid paying taxes? How is it not a handout then? And when poor people or people who are disadvantaged people reach out to ask for it, it's a handout. We've got to stop, because these are the kinds of ideas that, when communicated, create in people's minds that they have lost it, that they are no longer worthy of being in the society, that the society is now what? Sideline them. They have now become marginalized, and they are no longer unable to maintain their position in society. So thank you, Mr. Politician, for pointing that out to us and for creating this idea of displacement and dislocation in people's mental, as part of people's mental imagery, thereby further alienating and creating these widespread scenarios of mass shooting. Thank you very much. Isn't it lovely? It's totally, totally lovely. Absolutely lovely to think that you could actually do this. And so, and this is why I say to everybody out there, you know, if you need help, you need to just reach out and ask for help. I come from a place where, yeah, we grew up with that too. You don't accept help. Everybody has to work on his own story and blah, blah, blah. But let me tell you something. I grew up and matured and began to realize that there are some things you can't handle by yourself. And you've got to learn how to ask for help and who to ask for help. And failing to ask for help is a failure on your part, not on society's fault. It's you who needs to say, you know what, I need help. Where can I go and get some help? And yes, it's humbling. It's extremely humbling. It's extremely painful. But it's better to ask for it than to sit there and wallow in despair. At least you're getting a hands up. You see what I mean? You've heard me talk about my color experience that I do every Thursday. Wow, looks like a new one is coming on Friday. But I do every Thursday. And one of the things that I do in my experience is that one of the things I've observed about people who come for food, this is a food distribution system. One of the things I've observed about it is that people come in, and those people have already made up in their minds that they're at the bottom of the barrel and there is no hope for them. This is all that they can do. They've already made that up in their minds. Many of them end up in this part of the city, end up in this situation, not because they were born in it, not because they thought it could ever happen to them. For many of them, they have a look on their faces of catatonic shock. They're in a catatonic state, as if it's a total case of disbelief, as if they're a robot. They're robotized, walking through the scenes they have to walk through in this life right now, because they could not imagine having lived like this, or that they could ever live like this. Do you see where I'm coming from? That's the reality of what has happened. We've never seen this before. Prior to this, when we first began the food distribution at that facility, it used to be only seniors would come in. It used to be only seniors. We never saw any young people. It used to be only seniors who would come in, and they would take a little stuff, and they would leave, and that would be, you know, praise the Lord, and they're on their way. But now, it's more young people than old. And the people whom you see walking in, you know right away that they're not accustomed to being displaced. They're not accustomed to being in this kind of situation. And I tell you the honest truth, that when I see these signs, these are signs that the society is gone off track, that something has totally derailed. One of the things I'm going to do in the very near future is I'm going to invite a politician down there to take a look at what their policies translate to on the ground. This is what it looks like and feels like on the ground. This is what it feels like, and this is what it says. This is what is happening right here on the ground. And so for those of you who are working, I suggest to you that you save your money. Put aside as much as you can. It used to be that we needed 6 months savings to survive. In today's world, you need 6 years. So save as much as you can while you work. If it means that you have to do without some of the things that we thought was life, yeah, put it aside. Save that money and put it aside. It's going to come in later on because you have to plan for a future that you don't know of. That kind of blanket feeling of insecurity that we had has erased and has gone away. I'm just saying, my friends, I'm just saying. So, as we move through the next couple of days and we speak to financiers in this latest incident of mass shooting, let's just keep in mind and bear in mind that we've got to figure out how do we get to where we want to be, and what do we do with what we have left? We've got to get it together, everybody. We can't continue to do this to ourselves. This is the Harry Kimmich Show. It's Monday. Let's get moving. This is the Harry Kimmich Show. Be right back. Monday, if you haven't started yet, it's time to get started. We're in the last quarter of the year for 2013. As for me, my new year began on September 1st. Yeah, I did Rosh Hashanah, so I believe that's when the new year started. And the shooter is now contained. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Make sure it says him, and it says final, it says him, and we don't thank you, Jesus. We are thankful that it's over to our dead. But Lord, prevent another mass shooting. No more mass shootings. We've had enough. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Who was the suspect? We'll get all the stories right. No one. Another day. Another mass shooting. Another mass shooting. Well, we've been talking all morning long about mass shootings in America, what the likely scenarios are, that they are what they are. And I am telling you the honest truth. I think I have just, as much as I have seen these things played out, I think just like you, I've had just about enough. So I think what we need is we need mental healing. We need deliverance. We need freedom from fear. We need deliverance from depression. We need restoration of our family. We need our money back. Some people are suffering from broken hearts. Some people are grieved. People are feeling weak because they're unable to find the support that they have been accustomed to. The people cannot endure what they're going through. People need prayers. And I'm telling you the honest truth. We need to get back on track and to start figuring out how can we have some sort of restoration to what we are accustomed to having. We've got to get it all back. We've lost it somewhere along there. And in losing it, we're paying the price for it now with the disintegration of what is our security, the feelings that we had that when we wake up the next day, things would be as they seem. We shouldn't have to fear going to work or using mass transportation. We shouldn't have to fear any of those things. And what I'm saying to you right now, my friends, is that it seems to me that not only has there been a cultural shift, but that there is a shift in our psyche, that now we are actively engaged in thinking about praying before we leave home that there will not be a mass shooting in my building or in my commute this morning or on my way to work or on my way home from work or to the bank where I'm going or to the office that I'm going or to whatever facility it is. And so I am going to ask all of us to engage in this mass prayer. And I know many of you are skeptical and many of you are like, well, what would prayer do? Blah, blah, blah. That's good for you. Believe as you wish. I do know you place faith in something. And I do hope and pray, this is my prayer for you, that the faith that you place in whatever you place it in will activate and work for you when the time comes. But I do know that most of us, from what I've seen, believe in a divine power. Whether we say God or Jesus or we say Allah or we say Buddha, most people have some form of religious belief system they subscribe to. And it is the vast they turn in times of crisis. As for me, I turn to Jesus. I turn to God Almighty. And so it is to Him I'm going to turn to today to ask for healing, not just for the family, but for the people involved, the workers, the co-workers and colleagues, the first responders, and everyone else around who has to view those images. I am going to pray for them. Now, the victims are gone, but it's their families and their friends who have to pick up the pieces of life that changed your evocative this morning. It is the man for whom their brother went to work, their son went to work, their husband went to work, their daddy, their uncle, their aunt, their niece, their daughter, their sister, their friend, their mother, who went to work this morning and did not return home today, and who is never going to return home. We are praying for their families of those. And so just pardon me, and I'm just going to say, Lord, we just need you to cover us. We just need you to bless us. We just need you to keep the peace. Father, in Jesus' name, we just need you, Lord. We are begging you for mercy. We're begging you to send mercy to us. We're begging you to open the hard heart of those who are in power and who can churn all the trickles that will help hurting people everywhere. We're asking you for an intervention to ensure that people who need help access the help that they need. We're asking you for peace and a restoration of our family or finances. We're asking you to help us endure these hard times. We're asking you that in these days of flight and famine in the land, we're asking you to open up the windows of heaven. We're asking you to make streams in the desert and to provide for your people. We're asking you because we don't know who else to turn to, because the politicians aren't helping us. We tried them. We turn to our CEOs and they aren't helping us. They're on a boat trip right now or on a yacht sailing somewhere in the Cayman Islands. Well, people whom they sidelined, even whom they don't care about, are hurting this morning. But, Father, we are coming to you and asking you for help, that this day, this very day, that you provide for your people, that you make a way for your people so they will not be lost, so they will not lose their lives, they will not lose their family. And we're asking, as people in the Washington, D.C. area make their way home this evening, that there will be quietness on the trains that are riding out to Maryland and to Virginia, and people on their commute on I-95 and on the freeways connecting D.C. and the surrounding communities. I am asking you for mercy and peace, as a blanket of peace to fall on all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thanks, everybody. I'll be right back. The Harry Kimmett Show continues as we continue this day in observance of what just took place in Washington, D.C. this morning. We'll be right back.
Have you ever read one of Harriet's books, Visions, Musings of the Spirit, or Through the Fire? If you haven't, don't fret. They're all available on Harriet's website at www.harrietkamuk.org. They're also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can even download Harriet's app on your web-enabled mobile device. Simply type in http://harrietkamuk.mob.app.at in your mobile phone's web browser. Need Harriet to speak at your next engagement? Give her a call at 1-800-573-1534 or visit the Contact Us page on her website. And if you want to know more about The Harriet Kamuk Show, log into Facebook and search for The Harriet Kamuk Show. Like the page if you want to, and be blessed.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is.
God is making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
If I stand strong and believe.
There's no reason to doubt.
I
know he's working.
I know he's working it out.
And it's turning around.
Turning around.
This is the good news. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concern.
Turn in my favor.
so much, everybody, for joining us. I am so grateful that you chose to spend your Monday with us, and thank you very much. And I hope that your area, that it turns around for you as we speak, so everyone going home today and for the rest of the week, but to our hearts, to our minds safe, and to everyone, I just wish you a really, really happy Monday. Get moving Monday, so let's get it started. Thanks so much, everybody. Continue to enjoy the music as we say goodbye on the Gary Kamen Show. Tomorrow is going to be a terrific Tuesday. I won't be on the air, but I will be back on Wednesday. Thanks so much, everybody. Be blessed.